Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Landon Isles here. I just wanted to take a quick moment to let you know a couple of things about the show. I believed I mentioned it before, but it's my intent to keep the show sponsorship free, so I can bring more of myself to you without any interruption. However, when it comes to coffee or caffeinated products or whatever, I feel it's pretty important to spread the word. So I like to give shout outs to these individuals, that produce what I deem to be great stuff. These people work hard, as we all do. So I take it upon myself to make them known. Secondly, in no way, shape or form do they sponsor the show, nor do they share the same or any opinions expressed on this podcast. So just putting that out there for everyone to know. That being said, on with the show.
No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media. Where coffee is life, the rest is just details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, maybe I just botched that up. Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 4 of No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host, and I'm coming to you live, and I'm using my old show notes here, so I apologize in advance. So if I'm procrastinating and telling you where I'm at, it's probably with good reason. Anyway, I'm really coming at to you from parts unknown. It's really an odd story, and I think I'm going to utilize this podcast to tell you. I was trying to broadcast from Manhattan, Kansas, and it's a bit of a long story. Before I really get into that as to why I'm not in Manhattan, Kansas, but currently in Kuwait, I'll have to go back and kind of fill you in on the details. So what I think I owe you is really, first off, I need to apologize for not keeping everyone in tune with my real life events that were affecting my ability to do the show. So going to the Wayback Machine, June 2016 to be accurate, I found out that I was moving out to the Midwest earlier than anticipated, where I thought I was going to move in 2017. It wound up me moving in 2016. So long story short, that move was an emotional roller coaster. And being on such a truncated timetable, there were just a lot of things I needed to close out since I was notified I was needed or to be in the Midwest earlier. I guess Kansas is the Midwest. I'd have to go back and check my geography to find out exactly what, but anyway, there was just a lot of things I needed to get taken care of before moving out to Kansas, finding a place to live, flying back, packing up, and then pretty much driving my ass all the way back to Kansas. And Kansas got busy. You know, I will say Kansas got busy. I know I had posted on Twitter, and I believe even on the No Syntax Facebook page, that I had stuff coming up, and I was writing episodes. I was putting together text, and it just didn't work out. The timing was just all bad. And, you know, so I get out to Kansas, and I'm in Kansas for a better part of a year on a new assignment. And to add to all that, the fall of 2017, I moved again. And I moved back to the East Coast, South Carolina to be more precise, and pretty much onward overseas to this undisclosed location. Unfortunately, you know, I really didn't know how this move was going to affect the show. I'd already been on hiatus for more than a year, and I was really just trying to figure out how I could do as many shows as possible, because the job that I'm in now really takes a majority of my time. And I really just wasn't sure how this was going to work out. The other part was I was trying to figure out when I began recording, this episode 4. So to even be more specific, and I know I'm bouncing around and I apologize. to be more specific in recording this show, I was bouncing around ideas and I had a really good show written up for that time frame where it made more sense. And to give you an indicator, this was during the presidential debates. So that should give you an, that should give you an idea of how old my notes are. So I realize even at this point, it's useless to record this podcast and talk about something so dated, even though it's still a trivial topic of conversation to this day. So, and I just look at everything that's going on with Donald Trump right now as people stuck in the storming phase of the Tuchman model. And I don't see it getting any better anytime soon. So, and maybe, you know, I'm discussing it for a little bit, you know, and to be clear, the only reason why I'm doing this is because it bothers me a little. You know, I just think overall you have this rough around the edges president of the United States. He's just somebody that we're not accustomed to, right? And he's not as I'll just say it this way. To me, he's not a very articulate person in a lot of ways, in comparison to former President Barack Obama, in comparison to former Presidents George Bush, former Presidents George Bush Jr. for George Bush Sr. So let me be clear on those two. President Ronald Reagan, all of these people are politicians, and Donald Trump, President Trump, just isn't. You know, he's just one of these straight shooters. And honestly, just with all the media exploitation and all the attention that he gets, I'm just truly sick of it. And I think a lot of people are. And on the opposite side of that, what I've seen or what I've heard, listening to other podcasts, you know, that I subscribe to, or listening to people in general, or watching news reports, it's really strange. Some people are the polar opposite of me, where I'm aggravated that people, when I say people, let me be clear. I'm aggravated at the news media for just having nothing else better to do, but to really nitpick at every little detail that, you know, President Trump speaks about, whatever he tweets about, whatever is put out on the news, whatever he says. Everything is just taken and exploited in such a negative light. That's what bothers me. Yet there are people out there, and each to their own. I'm not saying that my opinion's right, and I'm not saying their opinion's wrong. But you have people out there that they hear Trump talk, they read a Trump tweet, and they get so angry about it. Literally, they get upset. And I'm sitting here going, why? You know, if he bothers you that much, one, don't follow him on Twitter. I don't know if he has a Facebook account. I haven't really paid attention, but don't follow him on social at all. And essentially for avoid the noid, if you will. If he annoys you that much, just don't follow him. Don't pay attention to them. And for some people, I guess it's hard. I almost attribute it to, you know, back in the day, if you ever saw that movie, Private Parts, by Howard Stern. And in the one little excerpt in the movie, one of the gentlemen who works for the local radio conglomerate or whatever you want to call it, starts talking about, you know, the ratings and the ratings went up and people were talking about the people that hate him, you know, listen to him. Well, why do they listen to him if they don't like him? Because he wants to see what he says next, you know, and then the people who do like him stay on and listen to him because they want to see what he's going to say next. So I almost want to say that in that same context, that people who dislike him gravitate because they want to hear what he has to say next. As stupid as that sounds, for some reason, in my simpleton mind, it makes sense. But it really blows my mind that this is the first president that I could recall that has received so much scrutiny. And I can't think of any single former president that has, you know. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm not saying that none of the ex-presidents, if you will, received any scrutiny. They may have. I just may not be able to recollect, or because we didn't have the social mediums that we have now, you know, maybe it just wasn't heavily publicized. I keep wondering if we took, and I know I always allude to this, if we took what we do, what the technology and the social media platforms that we have now, and unplugged them from our current time frame and plugged it into the 1980s, would we feel the same way about the current president then? You know, would it, and I don't know. I mean, I'm sure every president had their faults. They have their own share of skeletons in their closet. But again, to my recollection, none of them have been blasted this hard by the media or the American people with which what I deem to be such extreme prejudice. And I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, the media, and, you know, when you try to read the news, and I really try to keep a very neutral opinion, and try not to be so biased. I don't like President Trump, but I don't dislike President Trump. And in my position, you know, he's my commander in chief. So I pretty much have to do what he says. But the other part is I've just never seen such a huge divide of a nation. You know, how did we become so divided? Or is it just more visible now because of our accessibility? And what I mean by accessibility, I mean, has technology and social media allowed our sensitivity to become more amplified? And if not, where in the hell did the disconnect come from? You know, we've gone from a society, and maybe I'm getting off topic here, but I think it correlates. We've gone from a society where it took a village to raise a child, to one of candy givers for the most mediocre of accomplishments made by our children. I mean, we moved away from the strict discipline of our parents, the strict discipline that our parents provided us growing up, to rewarding children for being complete asshats. You know, parents are quick to blame teachers for kids not making the grade instead of asking their kids, what the fuck is their malfunction? You know, and so it makes me wonder if the shift in how we and future generations raise their children created the world that we're seeing today. You know, and I mean, I'm digressing. I just wanted to bring those questions and opinions to light because it really seems to fit today's social paradigm. And yeah, you might be asking, okay, Landon, what's your point? What does the scrutiny of the president have anything to do with today's modern society of people who've been dubbed as, and I'm not even sure if this is a topic anymore. So just with everything that's been going on with me at work, my attention's been so focused, but you know, how does this have anything to do with today's people who've been dubbed as snowflakes? You know, I mean, has this term died already? And honestly, I hope so, because it's a pretty pathetic vernacular in the first place to call people a snowflake. I don't know where that came from. I don't know really what that means. I suppose I could look it up in the Urban Dictionary. I don't know, but it just really seems like one of those weird names to just call somebody. I really, as an American people, I feel we're failing ourselves when the first thing that pops out of your mouth is snowflake. Really? I mean, come on. So just overall, anyway, moving on. I guess overall, like I said before, President Trump is unconventional. He isn't a politician. He's a businessman, and he isn't afraid to tell it like it is. You know, he's abrasive. And in some cases, or maybe more cases than not, depending on how you pay attention to the news media or whether or not you believe the news media, he's just consistent at being inconsistent. And in some respects, he kind of reminds me that America needs some tough love, you know, and is it because his approach isn't soft-spoken or because he doesn't speak in an eloquent manner, you know, that his current approach being rough around the edges, does that mean that how he handles these situations leaves a lot to be desired? Because we're not seeing that social norm. We're not seeing the status quo. You know, he didn't jump on board, and, you know, I'm sure he was told, hey, you need to walk like this, you know, you need to talk like that, type deal. And he just decided to say, no, I'm going to be my own person. I don't know. I could only assume, but you know, it's really weird just how both the media and the other majority of the American public who didn't vote for him chastise him so much. And yeah, I'll be honest with you. So let me be clear. I'm not saying that maybe his comments, if I go back and really read and research these things, that his comments aren't valid or invalid. I think it may be subject to interpretation. Maybe I just need to do my homework to see what everybody else sees. And believe me, if it gets to the point where it's starting to irritate me, I don't follow him on Twitter. I don't follow him on social at all. But I hear about it constantly in the other podcasts that I listen to. And again, it's their own opinion. And in some cases, it's kind of funny how people are very quick to mow down or cut down the president. And where I don't ever recall any president prior to really getting mowed over so bad. You know, I don't mean to laugh, but in a sense, sometimes it's funny. Sometimes I can just shake my head and go, guys, just let it go. Again, don't follow him. It just comes down to, if it's not the conventional news media or Hollywood bashing the president, you know, it's a lot of these individuals who propagate the false information using the same social mediums, you know, just to watch the world burn. You know, so if I wanted to be a troll, if I wanted to be a complete asshat, and knowing some of the individuals who just get burned up just listening to President Trump, you know, I could turn around and use these same social medias to watch the world burn and antagonize these people with anti-Trump propaganda just to let them go off, you know, go into a Trump rage or whatever they're calling it. But there's just a sad case that even the fake news out there about President Trump, which there have been some excerpts that I've read through and looked through, and I'm like, yeah, this isn't right. And then doing further research, you kind of find out, no, that's not the whole story. It's bits and pieces of the true story, but it's bits and pieces utilized to just antagonize people who are totally anti-Trump. But the sad case is those people are so engrossed in this proverbial hatred for him. Maybe it's not proverbial, but that they just believe it's real. And the same people who probably think the National Enquirer tells the real, these are probably the same people that think the National Enquirer tells the real story. I don't know. You know, and in some cases, I kind of look at it as maybe we've been coddled too much over the past 15, 20 years. You know, I understand, again, President Trump is different. He's not typically what we're used to, but I mean, you got to give the man a chance, you know, and I don't know. I don't know if he's kept any of his campaign promises. You know, maybe he has, maybe he hasn't, you know, but things change. You know, what you don't know is what you don't know. I mean, if I put it in the perspective, if I ran for president of the United States and I turn around and I'm going across the country trying to get your vote, and I'm saying, hey, you know, my stance is this on a particular topic and I'm going to go in there and change it. And then I get in there and I get a back brief and somebody tells me, well, you know, President Landon, I understand that this is part of your campaign plan. And I understand that we helped you spin it. Probably we helped you spin it just so you can get the vote, right? But here's what the second and third order effects are if we change this one thing that you're doing. And I'm just keeping it simple to one thing, right? And the second and third order effects could be quite adverse. You know, it could cost a lot of people jobs. It could cripple the market along with costing a lot of people jobs. Unemployment rates will go up, or, you know, it'll cause us to have to raise taxes or something to affect because somebody tied some sort of loophole to this. So it makes it almost impossible for me. I don't know. You know, that's just an assumption for me. So I kind of sit here and say, well, you know, just kind of reflecting, you know, I guess we got to give him a chance. And we have to attempt to trust the system of checks and balances that our forefathers put in place, you know, to keep the president in check. And if he does something severely wrong, I mean, severely wrong to the point, you know, where there's no other recourse but to impeach him, then he'll be impeached, you know? So I just look at it as, hey, let's just move on. Let's just see what's happening and let's see what takes shape and take place, you know, and give him the space to run the country. You know, there's a lot of armchair, there's a lot of armchair presidents outside. And I know that's probably a bad thing to say, you know, just like you have armchair quarterbacks and all that other stuff that, you know, I could watch an MMA fight and look at somebody in the octagon. Well, if he had done this, it'd probably be, yeah, brother, shut up. You know, I just look at it as let the guy do his time and let's see what he does. Let's see what he doesn't do. And this is why it's always important to pretty much, you know, to quote the 80s, rock the vote and make your voice count, make your voice be heard, and get out there and speak up. You know, personally, I look at it as if you don't go out there and vote, if you don't speak up, if the people aren't heard, then you have no right to bitch. I'm just saying, you know. Anyway, so I think I've danced on my soapbox with my opinions enough on that. And that really wasn't my intent. I was trying to give you the story and background of what's going on, but I think I'll reflect on that towards the end of the show. But, yeah, I don't know. It's really odd. So I'm stalling here, but anyway, so yeah, 2017 was, I guess, a very trying year for a lot of people. And, you know, we have a lot of deaths in Hollywood overall. And this is going to segue into my next topic that just popped in my head. By the way, I'm freestyling this today. I don't have any real show notes. I can't utilize my old show notes from episode 4 back in 2016 because it would just be stupid. But one of the things that came to light, you know, recently, I guess towards the end of 2017 and has bleeded over into 2018, although we're not that far in, but wow, here it is already mid-January. These sex scandals, the Weinstein, the Kevin Spacey's and all this. And now, I forgot the most recent Golden Globe winner. Oh gosh, he played in the Spider-Man movie. I'd have to look it up. What is it? Yeah, so let me fark around here. Oh crap. Spider-Man movie. Oh, you know, I should have been more prepared for this. I apologize. So I'm doing the Google search. Damn it, no. This is talking about Spider-Man Homecoming, and that's not what I'm looking for. Anyway, he was the actor that played, the Green Goblin's son. You know, he was the best friend of, Peter Parker, and he played the Green Goblin's son. And then I think he took over his dad's legacy as a Green Goblin and found out that Peter Parker was Spider-Man, so on and so forth. But that actor there, now he's up on accusations. And oh my God, Stan Lee is up on accusations too. And I'm sitting going, what the fuck, people? I don't get it. I mean, this is the year of sex scandals. Now, I'm not biting my lip on this, ladies and gentlemen. And believe me when I tell you, I understand what's going on. I see what's going on. I appreciate that women are stepping up and having a voice and saying what they need to say and being outspoken about what happened. Do I think all of them are true? No. Do I think there's some validity to some of them? More than likely. And really, with the whole legal battle, it should pan out. But it really seems so odd that almost every day of the week, some TV star, movie star, combination of both, somebody famous is coming up on some sort of allegations of sexual misconduct towards women and maybe even towards men or both. And it just blows my mind that the thought processes now of, sorry, I didn't mean to burp. I just couldn't hold it. Just the thought processes now of the American public. And it just, I mean, I don't know Kevin Spacey. I don't know any of these actors, right? Do I look up to any of these actors? Absolutely not. I guess because I'm disconnected, I'm looking at it as because they did something in their personal life that may or may not be true. And if it's true and if it's proven, they get in trouble and things take action from there. Or it goes to court and it's not proven and they don't get in trouble and no action is taken. I look at it as that doesn't apply to me. I guess the basic concept, and it's probably a bad analogy, but I look at it as this, and I'll tell you why I think of things this way. I think of the things this way in the context that, number one, what you do as a person, as an actor, is not going to deter me from watching a movie if you're in it. It's not going to keep me from watching a favorite television show if you're in it, you know, especially if I like it. It's your fault that you did that. And if I never see you in another movie again, okay, no harm, no foul. I really don't give a shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't look at it. People sit there and say, well, I'll never look at Stan Lee again if it's true the same way again. Or I don't like Kevin Spacey, or I can't watch a Kevin Spacey flick now because of what he did. Or I can't watch anything that is it Harvey Weinstein or whoever that cat is. You know, I can't look at anything that he's produced because I can't look because it bothers me. Why? I mean, why? Let me back up because now I could already feel my heckles standing up because of that statement. I just look at it like this. Number one, I appreciate the women stepped up. One, I really wish they would have stepped up sooner. Two, it sets a really good foundation for other women to come forward, which that's what seems like it's happening. But I think it's also set the foundation for individuals to come forward to make a quick buck. And we have to let the system work and gather the facts to make an informed decision before we judge people. If it's valid and there's findings and it's true, okay, got it. But I don't think we should punish ourselves for what other people have done. That's their fault. You never see them in a movie again. You never see them in a movie again. You don't see them on radio. You don't see them on TV. That whole thing with Matt Lauer. I mean, they basically completely wiped the entire building down of his presence after he left. You know, fuckers like that, I would see where, I mean, that everything was warranted. Yeah, that motherfucker needs his ass beat. I'm not going to mix words. He needs his ass beat. But when I start seeing other people come out of the woodwork and start talking about things that happened years ago, let's let the system work and find out if it's true. And if it's true, so be it. But does that mean that I'm not going to watch, that I'm going to stop watching a movie that's got Kevin Spacey in it? No, I'm going to watch the movie because I like the movie. Has nothing to do with the individual. We can't put movie stars. We can't put television stars. We can't put radio personalities on a pedestal to the point where, oh, I'm so disappointed. I can't watch it again. How does that really affect you? You don't know the individual. To me, if you are a family member, if you were the person's wife or husband or son or daughter, those are the people that are really affected. Why should you take it so personal because somebody committed such a heinous act or a huge impropriety against another person? Why? Why you live your life? Let them live theirs, wherever that may be. There's no reason to get wrapped up in it. That's why I don't understand why people are bugged out about when Trump talks and people get so angry. I don't get it. I really, really don't. Maybe I'm closed off. Maybe I just flip a switch and I tune everything out. But that's just me. You know, again, this is just my opinion. And maybe I can understand it. I can see where the impact, where maybe, okay, you do put a movie star, television star, radio personality, you know, on a pedestal where it kind of hurts your feelings to know that they did that. I mean, let me just put it in perspective. So I think the world of Ewan McGregor. I really, really do. You know, and not just the Star Wars movies, but for those of you who don't know, Ewan McGregor is an avid motorcycle rider. He loves motorbikes. And he's got a really good friend, Charlie Borman. They did two series together. One was called Long Way Round, where they made a trip on motorbikes from Scotland around the world through parts of Europe, Russia, Alaska, the United States, all the way to New York. And then they did a similar trip a few years later, from Scotland all the way down to South Africa, you know, and that trip was called, consequently, The Long Way Down. So watching those episodes and him having to deal, you know, with the trials and tribulations of riding a BMW GSA 1200 Adventure, through parts unknown, and just the personal experiences he had, I felt a really good connection. And what I'm getting at is on his second show, Long Way Down, his wife, Ev, she joined them for part of that journey for a few days. And so it was just really awesome. It was really awesome to see that, you know, it was really awesome to see that husband wife experience and how long they've been together. I think they've been together for 22 years. Well, just recently within the past year, come to find out that it was announced that, him and his wife, Ev, had been separated since May of last year. And I'm like, oh no, you know, that kind of sucks. So I guess I can kind of have an understanding of how people feel, when you look at somebody who has or seemed to have at that time such a wholesome relationship with each other, you know, for such a long period of time, only to find out that now things are falling apart because, you know, Ewan found a new love or a new love interest or whatever the case may be. And yeah, it's a little bit disheartening. So I guess I could kind of see it, but that doesn't mean that if he comes in out in another movie or does another, you know, motorbike adventure or whatever that, oh, well, you know what? I don't like you anymore because you're no longer with the woman that I know to be your wife and to be the love of your life. I'm not doing that. You know, people are human. People make mistakes. Some of them are really bad, grave mistakes. And some of them aren't so much, but you know, you have to pick up yourself and dust yourself off. And some things you can't recover from and some things you can. So I just look at it from the overall aspect that, you know, people need to disconnect from that. I don't think they need to take it to heart. It's understandable that, you know, you want to teach your kids to do the right thing. Nothing wrong with that. And maybe that's another thing. And I know I'm going in circles on it. I'm just trying to get a relative understanding, overall. And it just really blows my mind. But the media just solely blows my mind, you know, when it comes down to this. And I really just don't fucking understand it sometimes. You know, we went from all these sad losses last year, movie stars, television stars, musicians for the most part. You know, last year just was a really bad year for that. And there are a lot of great artists out there where, you know, we've got their memories of the music that created, but it's going to be sad that we're not going to hear anything further from them, you know, from this point on. But now that we've bled into something on the polar opposite, you know, where people are, you know, doing some really bad stuff out there, which seems to be on the opposite side of the spectrum, and it so sucks. But people are just getting a little too head deep into it. That is bothering people on a real personal level. And I'm having a difficult time understanding that. I guess over time, if I research this a little bit more, maybe I'll get a better understanding, you know, maybe not, but I just don't want this to turn into, you know, something that's just going to be, I don't know, people just grow up, wake up, you know, smell the coffee, you know, don't take things at face value, disconnect from social if you have to, you know, read a book, go do something, get out, you know, the world is out there. And I'm not saying people are centering their lives around all this, but unfortunately you got some people that do. And there's nothing you can do about it. So yeah, it's really unbelievable. Yeah, so I'm really on my soapbox. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first, you know, podcast since, wow, a long time. And I was trying to make this, you know, as simple as possible. And really, I didn't anticipate that it was going to be this long of a show. So I apologize in advance. So let me gear down a little bit and let me talk to you about the future of the show from this point. So here's the deal. I work 6 days a week at my current location, sometimes seven. Usually Sundays are my time where I get a little bit time to breathe. And depending on what I have going on, is really going to dictate or drive whether or not that I could do a show from my location here in Kuwait. I'm just going to say where I'm at. I'm in Kuwait. And it's, you know, really going to be solely dependent on work. What I'm planning on doing is if I can't do, say, a 30-minute episode, is maybe doing some, syntax shorts. So basically like a 10-minute little quick deal, you know, just something that comes out on the news that bugs me. And, I come out and I just talk about it for about 10 minutes, you know, and that'll be it. Just kind of keep myself, you know, in the motion of doing the show and whatnot. So that's kind of something I'm mulling over right now. But again, I really apologize for not keeping you all informed about what's been going on, with me. It's been an emotional roller coaster of the ride. It's been four moves in 4 years, and consequently, it's going to be a fifth move after I'm done here towards the end of this year. And that's probably going to be quits for me as far as the job that I'm doing. I'm looking to retire. So, and not a moment too soon, to be honest. So I am going to do what I can, and I will not make any promises that the show will be consistent every week. I'm planning on trying to do it every Sunday, situational dependent on where I'm at. My connectivity out here isn't all that great. Oh, so that reminds me, if you're getting this podcast and the sound quality isn't all that great, let me apologize now. I probably should have started at the beginning with this. But let me apologize for that, because it may have to do with just the physical environment here. Connectivity in this location, you would think would be better than it is, and it's not. I'm a little bit in of a disconnected area. I'm having to use MiFi to upload and download stuff, so I don't know what the sound quality is going to be like. So I'm anticipating the worst, and if it's bad, if there's echo and everything like that, or other noises that are interfering, I apologize in advance. So, I think I'm just going to go ahead and wrap up here for this episode, which is probably one of my longer episodes, for No Syntax. But again, going back, I want to look at doing some shorts. If it winds up being 30 minutes, it's 30 minutes. If it winds up being less, it's less. But I really want to get content out here. There's a lot of things I want to talk about. I've been writing some notes down. I might be a little bit behind the times and the power curve, so I'm going to have to try and catch up a little bit. But I really wanted to get something out to you today. And I really want to thank everybody for being patient with me and getting an episode out. I also want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for hearing me rant about old stuff until I can get up to date on a few things. And taking the time to listen. So with that, I'm going to end the show and just let you know that you can still find me on Facebook at No Syntax. You can email me if you want to. But you can email me, with any comments or questions. My email address is nosyntaxpodcast. That's all one word. nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com. So No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Like I haven't had enough today. Logo design is by LJI Designs. Music is by Rim Sky Music and can be found at www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. And I'm going to tell you, today's show was fueled by Death Wish Coffee Company, and you could find their coffee at www.deathwishcoffee.com. Oh, before I close out, I want to let you know, if there's anybody out there that is a Jolt, J-O-L-T, Jolt Cola fan, if you don't already know, Jolt Cola has made a comeback. They're back in full force. They are currently producing their original formula. There was a petition that went out that got the original creator off his butt and out there producing it. You can get Jolt from Dollar General if they're in your area. You can get it from Dollar General. I will tell you, depending on the amount that they get, some may only get a couple of six packs. Some may only get a case. They're usually loose. They're not together in the normal cardboard case package. And you have to walk through the aisles of the store because, to my understanding, every Dollar General is different with their deals. They've got a specific aisle where they got deals, so you can find it there, or you can order Jolt Cola on Amazon.com. So again, thank you for listening. Hopefully you will hear from me next Sunday, which I don't even know what date that is. I don't even know what today is. I think today's the 13th. So 1 week from today. Actually, Saturday. Shit. Okay, sorry, Saturday. At some point during the weekend, you'll hear from me. So, hey, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Later.